Title, our message today is titled, Do You Love Me? Do You Love Me? And our series is titled, Questions from Jesus. And so we've been examining a few of the questions that Jesus asked during his earthly ministry. And today's question presents a whole different challenge. Because I do believe that it is a question that needs to be asked of the Christian community today. Do you love me? Do you love me? Now, if you understand the context in which Jesus is asking this question, he is literally saying, do you really love me? Do you really? In our culture, Everybody will declare their love for God. You watch the Grammys, I never do anymore, but you watch the Grammys, guy gets up, he's got a hit song he won a Grammy for, the song degraded women, laced with profanity, but he said, I love God, and I just thank him for awarding my hard work. And so the question really becomes, we say we love him, but are we really loving him? And here's the big challenge, I think. I know, because I can prove from the scripture, that God, and especially Jesus, has a different definition of love than we do. I'm getting ready to say something that's going to shock most of you, but hopefully you'll understand the context in which I'm saying it. Love is not an emotion. Love is not a feeling. You ever hear people say, I fell head over heels in love? You probably need to do that over. Because my father taught me something. After my mother passed, my dad was beginning to see someone, and he said, I asked her to marry me, son. I said, well, good, man, I'm happy for you. I said, I'm so happy for you. He said, you are? I said, absolutely. I said, I just want you to be happy. He said, man, he said, but I explained to her, we're too old to be falling in love. He said, we're just going to grow in love. See, when you understand that love is not an emotion, it is not a feeling, then it lets you approach love from a different perspective. And it lets you approach the people you love from a different perspective. Because what you begin to understand is love is actually a conscious thought that I have. See, if it's a feeling, I have no control over it. What did I tell you? You don't control your feelings. If you don't get control of your feelings will have you walking around here crazy as a June bug. Are you hearing me? And we all know people who are driven by their feelings. You know, sometimes I'll watch something on TV, and I was watching a show the other day, and it was about domestic violence. That's what the show was about. And this dude done beat the brakes off of his woman, and here's what they said. They said, he just loved her too much. I said, he should have loved her a whole lot less. Are you hearing me? But see, we have these warped ideologies of what love is. And so as Jesus asked this question, what you're going to see is Jesus is asking one question, but Peter's answering another question. Are you hearing me? All right, let's look at the scripture. John 21. John 21, verses 15 through 17. I used to not need these things. So when they had finished breakfast, so we know this is in the morning. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John or son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my lambs." Next. And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." Next. He said to him a third time. By this time, this is starting to get on Peter's nerves. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Hallelujah. Jesus is asking a question, and he keeps asking the same question again and again. And to understand why he's asking the same question again and again is you have to go over to Luke chapter 22 and read what preceded this. Because there was an argument that broke out amongst the disciples over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And they start arguing about who's going to be the greatest, and they start talking about who's going to have the seat of honor. And Jesus looks at Simon Peter and says, "Simon Peter, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat." He said, "But I have prayed for you." And Simon responds. Now watch this, because when this conversation over who's going to be the greatest gets started, there's this comparison spirit that comes up. And so Simon now, Jesus has said, "Satan desires to sift you like wheat." And Simon says, "Lord, you know that I'll be with you even to death." And Jesus says to him, he says, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. One translation says, Peter said, "Not so, not so." He was so insistent. As the story goes, still talking about Luke 22, that as the story goes, they came to arrest Jesus. And when they came to arrest him, y'all got to understand how they showed up. They showed up like they were coming to arrest a worldwide terrorist. You know, they showed up with a whole squad. They showed up with what's those people, SWAT. They showed up with a SWAT team to arrest Jesus. And Peter sees this, and as they're arresting Jesus, somebody says, "He was with him." Peter said, "No, I wasn't." Later on, in the same setting, this is all happening in a matter of moments, somebody else says, "I saw you. I know that you were with him." And Peter said, "No, I wasn't." Then he's trying to get warm next to a fire, and a girl sees him and says, "You was with him. You sound like him." Peter said, No, you got me confused with somebody else." The Bible says at that moment, the cock crowed. And Peter looks at Jesus heartbroken as Jesus is looking back at him. So now imagine the gaze that's going on between these two friends as the prophecy that Peter swore would never happen comes to pass. Are you hearing me? And so this is the background for our conversation today. I don't know what this thing is. Give me. No. When I was using it. So this is the background for our lesson today, that as Peter is dealing with this whole idea of denying, betraying Jesus, are you hearing me? Now they're at another place. So here's point number one. We're just going to jump into this. Here's point number one. Like Peter, we're usually answering a different question than is being asked. You ever ask somebody a question and they start talking about something that don't have nothing to do with what you're talking about? And it makes you think, what you hiding? What did you do? Why is this question so disturbing to you that you can't answer the question that I'm asking you? Or they start saying stuff to divert your attention. Where were you? I told you where I was going. I ain't ask if you told me where I was going, where you were going. I asked, where did you end up going? Are you hearing me? So there's a question being asked, but the answer is different than the question. People say, well, how can that be? Because Jesus asked the question, do you love me more than all of these? And Peter answers the question, Lord, you know I love you. The first thing Jesus does when you hear how he phrases the question initially is he wants to see, did that experience get you delivered from your comparison problem? He said, do you love me more than all of these? Here's what Jesus is saying. He says, when Jesus says, do you love me? He is saying, do you agape me? Do you agape me? Peter's answering, Lord, I phileo you. So now, what's the difference? Agape is this purposeful and intent God kind of love. We get the word Philadelphia from the Greek word phileo. That's why they call Philadelphia the city of brotherly love, because it's the kind of love you have for a friend. So Jesus is asking him, are you deeply in love with me? And Peter's answering, you're all right. We good. Because see, he's totally, after this whole experience, he's totally unsure of how he should answer. Are you hearing me? And see, agape is so different, and this is why, and I'm going to show you in a minute, why when Jesus says over and over again, when he talks about love, he's talking about agape. He's talking about us having that kind of love that says, I am down with you. I am committed to you. Agape is a committed kind of love. Are you hearing me? Next. One way we demonstrate our love for Christ is by caring for what he cares most about. One way we demonstrate our love for Christ is by caring for what he cares the most about. Women usually get this better than men. You know, women understand that if you love me, the things that concern me ought to concern you too. They just seem to get that whatever I love, you should have some appreciation for. Even if you don't like it, just like, I'll give you a prime example. My wife likes TV shows I have absolutely no interest in whatsoever. None. We generally watch TV in separate rooms. But every now and then, I'll get up and go in the room where she is. Where was I at? But every now and then, when I want to spend time with her, I actually go in the room where she is, and I'll engage in the show. Here's the reality. I've got absolutely no interest in the show. I'm interested in her. And because she's interested in the show, I kind of put up with the show. Are you hearing me? That is something that concerns her. So therefore, okay, I want to spend time with you. I'm cool. Let's just watch this movie. Usually some chick flick. Yeah. It used to be Hallmark. Good Lord have mercy. Next. Let's look at the scripture. Going back to our principal text, watch this. Jesus says, "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I phileo you.' He said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' Next. And he said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you.' He said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.'" So Jesus said, here's something you can do to let me know that you love me. Take care of what's most precious to me. You ever loan somebody something? And You loaned it. You didn't give it. Now, you know, you give somebody something, they can do whatever they want to do with it. They can sell it. They can whatever they want to do. But I loaned this to you. And they swore that when you loaned it to them, I'm going to take care of it like it's mine. You didn't think about how they take care of the rest of their junk. And so you get your stuff back in a very worse condition than what you loaned it out. Now you got attitude because I was trying to help you, and this proves you treated my stuff like garbage. Are you hearing me? Well, Jesus here is saying to him, he says, hey, if you want to prove that you agape me, he says, tend. Now watch, he says, first he says, tend to my lambs. What's a lamb? A lamb is something that needs a lot of care. It's young. It doesn't have any knowledge of the world. A lot of times when you would see shepherds, the shepherd would be walking with a lamb on his shoulders because the lamb couldn't keep up. The lamb was kept wandering off. Are you hearing me? He says, so I want you to be very careful about taking care of my lamb. Now, he's talking to him about his pastoral ministry. Believe it or not, this is why I tell y'all, everybody in the body of Christ is a leader. Every one of us has a pastoral ministry. Every one of us should be caring for somebody else. Sometimes it's just people who are going through what you've been through. And you can encourage them through it. You can tell them, I went through that, I understand, it's going to be okay. You can be a listening ear, right? So he's telling him, he says, tend my lambs. Then he says, take care of my sheep. Even those who think they understand. We got a lot of people, I was talking to my God brother about this all the time. We have a lot of people who really think they know God. No. They really think they know God. And they have not been taught that there is a difference between knowing about him and knowing him. Are you hearing me? Okay. Who here knows Tiger Woods? Anybody know Tiger Woods? Well, then you don't know him. You know about him. You know of him. Are you hearing me? So if I were to say to anybody in this room, you say you know Tiger Woods, tell me what you know about him. Here's what some of the answers I get back. He's a really good golfer. Arguably one of the greatest golfers in the history of golf. Then of course, people will go, because this is what we do, go talk about the mistakes he made in his life. You really don't know the mistake. You just know what you heard, because you don't know him. Well, believe it or not, there are a whole lot of people that are talking about God that don't know him. And just like people talk about Tiger Woods as if they know him personally, they know all of his business, they know everything, about him, these people talk about God as if they know him personally. And if you didn't know better, you would almost be convinced, well, they really know God. Until they have to tell you something intimate about him. Somebody say amen. Next. We don't really love him if we don't love him the way he wants to be loved. We don't really love him if we don't love him the way he wants to be loved. One of the things that I had to explain to my family, and I told them this early on, my kids, my wife, shortly after we got married, I said, there's a principle that I live my life by. I said, and everybody in this house needs to understand this principle. If you give someone something that they don't want, you really haven't given them anything. I said, so the first thing is to find out. I'll give you a prime example. I used to bring my wife flowers because somebody told me, you know, if you want your marriage to stay, you should bring flowers at least once a week. So I'd bring them flowers. Her expression wouldn't even change. She'd go, oh, that's nice. And then they lay on the table for a day or so, and then she'll finally get up. I probably should put these in some water. And so she'll put them in some water. But that wasn't her love language. She can care less about them flowers. And so giving her flowers expressed nothing to her. Meant absolutely, it didn't matter how big the bouquet. I even went one time and I said, well, she likes fruit. So I got a fruit basket. And it was one of them real decorative fruit baskets with all the edible arrangements. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Brother shelled out some coin for that. She was like, whatever. Got nothing. Then here's how I figured it out. She worked late one night, and she came home, and I had cooked dinner. And she acted like I had just won the Olympics or something. I was like, that's all it takes? She said, I was leaving work thinking, do I need to stop and pick up something for dinner because I don't want to cook? But I was letting her know, hey, here it is. So the same is true about the Lord, that we don't really love him if we don't love him the way he wants to be loved. So the question becomes, how does he want to be loved? Since everybody in our society, you can't hardly walk down the street and you talk to a perfect stranger and you say, do you love Jesus? Oh, yes. I love Jesus. I'm saying, listen, think I'm lying. I've done this stuff. Get in a conversation with somebody. Do you love Jesus? Oh, yes. I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. Well, let's look at how he wants to be loved. And then let's determine if we really love him. Watch this. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and is the one who agapes me. And he who agapes me, agapeo by my Father, will be agapeo by my Father, and I will agape him and will disclose myself to him. So Jesus said, if you want to know who really loves me the way I want to be loved, it's the person who not only has my commandments, but they keep my commandments. He said, and this is what makes my Father love him. He said, I'm going to go even one step further. These are the only people I'm going to reveal myself to.
In other words, what he's saying is I'm only going to be intimate with people who keep my commandments.
Y'all ain't hearing me. Next. He said, those who have my commandments and keep them, right? John 15, 12 through 14. This is my commandment. So now we get to find out what the commandment is. This is my commandment, that you agape one another just as I have agape you. Next. Greater agape has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Next. You are my friends if you do what I ask. If you do what I suggest. If you do what I like. No, he is issuing a command. Here's the thing. If you don't love like I love, then you're not honoring my commandment. Jesus was asked one time, which is the greatest commandment? Just love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second one is just as great as the first one. Love your neighbor just like you love yourself. Guess what? These are commands. They're not suggestions. Here's how you know people think these are suggestions, because they think they can pick and choose when they want to love people. We generally love people who agree with us. We generally love people who add to us. We generally love people who make us feel good about ourselves. But can you love that person who is totally unlovable? Can you love the person that is just getting on your last nerve? You know, the one that you reserve for the end of the day, and they got on it at 9 a.m.? Can you still love them? Next. Loving people is loving Jesus. Loving people is loving Jesus. This is why I get so frustrated with people who say, I love Jesus, I just can't stand church people. Well, you don't love Jesus. I love Jesus, but church folks just get on my nerves. You don't love Jesus. You know why they walking around here talking about a dog is man's best friend? That's the craziest thing in the world. I told y'all the story. Man was a chain smoker, had been trying to quit smoking for years, Kim. He had been trying for years to quit smoking, couldn't quit smoking. And one day his wife asked him to take her to the doctor. She wasn't feeling well. So he takes her to the doctor. The doctor examines her, runs some tests. They go back to get the results of the test. The doctor says, your wife has emphysema. And if she's going to be able to have any type of comfortable life, you're going to have to give up smoking. You can't smoke in her presence. She can't be in a room where there's smoke. So you're going to have to give up smoking. And the guy went, oh, doc, I've been trying to quit smoking for years. I don't know if I can do that. Well, as life would happen, the very next week, his dog got sick. And so he took the dog to the vet. The vet ran a bunch of tests. The vet called him back in and said the dog had emphysema. He said, sir, your dog can continue to live out the full number of his days, but you're going to have to quit smoking. He quit smoking that day. But see, this just shows how jacked up we are. You know, let me show you something. This is why. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm going to tell you first, my favorite commercial, and I hate commercials, but my favorite commercial right now is that Geico commercial where they start singing about ice cream. French vanilla, Rocky Road, chocolate, peanut butter, candy dough, you know. Scoop, there it is. Scoop,
I love that commercial. That commercial is hilarious to me. That commercial is hilarious to me. Now, if you want to know the commercial that gets on my nerves the most, the commercial comes on with these violins playing. And they what's the name of the organization? ASPCA. And they got these violins playing. And for your donation of just 30 cents a day, you can improve a dog's life. I'm like, I told my wife, I said, don't get me wrong, I love dogs. I said, but these same people will actually fund abortions, but they want to save a dog. And this shows you how messed up we are in our thinking, how jacked up our priorities are. That's why somebody said, they said, if our children were conceived as puppies, people would be willing to stop abortions. It's beyond stupid. It's beyond crazy. Let's go. Next. Jesus is speaking again, John 13:35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have agape for one another. Here's the real sign that you're one of mine. How you love your fellow believer. How you care for your fellow believer. This is the real sign. Are you hearing me? I know some people teach that the sign that you're saved is if you speak in tongues. And some people teach the sign that you're saved is if you join the church. No, there are people who actually believe joining the church saves you. Y'all think I just say this stuff. I'm telling y'all stuff that I have actually heard as a preacher. I've had people explain to me they got saved when they joined the church. I said, well, tell me about that. Well, I just woke up that morning and felt like I should go to church. And when I got there, the preacher preached a good message. And so I walked down and joined the church and got saved. I said, so you're saying that joining the church is how you got saved? Yeah. Okay. So Jesus, he doesn't leave this nebulous at all. He said, here's how people are going to know that you're one of mine. The way you love. See, love makes you put up with stuff you ordinarily wouldn't put up with. Are you hearing me? Let me move on. Shouldn't they get ready to throw something? 1 John 3, verses 10 and 11. Watch this. By this, whoa, here we go. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Here's how the children of God and the children of the devil become obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. It doesn't get much clearer than that. If you don't practice righteousness and you don't love your brother, you're not of God. Somebody tell me, what is righteousness? Huh? What is righteousness? Righteousness is when you do what's right just because it's right. You do what's morally right just because it's right. Are you hearing me? Next. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should agape one another. We should agape one another. And so this is being emphasized over and over and over again, that this is how we demonstrate our love for God. Loving people is loving the Lord. I think I got another scripture here. John 4, 1 John 4, 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Now, those people who say that it's not life-giving and it's mean to be judgmental against people's sins. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. You know, notice how there's no dressing that up. It doesn't say he misspoke. It doesn't say he might be stretching the truth. No, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. It's an impossibility. Next. And here we go with that word again. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Isn't it amazing how God keeps suggesting that we love our brothers? I think it's the kindest and most generous suggestion in all the New Testament. I'm sorry? Well, if it's a command, why do so many people think it's optional? If it's a command, see, you're talking to somebody who worked in a paramilitary environment for almost 20 years. And I spent 12 of those years as a commander. Remember the guy came to Jesus and he wanted his son to be healed. And he said to Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. He said, I'm a commander of men. I say to one, go, he goes. I say to another one, come, he comes. He says, so just speak the word. Because what he was letting Jesus know is you're a commander in this area, and I understand commanders. So commanders don't make a whole lot of suggestions. Get this done. This is how because I talk to people this way. I was a commander. This needs to be done. How many officers do you need to get it done? I need 4 officers. All right, you got your 4 officers. Get it done. I need it done by this time. Didn't even sound like a suggestion. You want to know why? It was a commandment. Jesus over and over again makes sure this doesn't sound like a suggestion. He makes sure that there is no way this can even remotely seem optional. This is the gospel summed up. That we love one another. That we love one another. Let me just tell y'all something. I've been in love with the same woman for over 35 years. And love will challenge you. Because, you know, I tell people, we didn't have a whole lot of days where we thought about divorce. We had quite a few we thought about murder. I'm serious. But see, love will make you put up with some stuff. It'll make you go, you know what? That isn't even all that important. Love will make you change what you value. Because you love this person. And because you want to be in relationship with them, I got to make an adjustment for this to work out. My wife has been so gracious in making adjustments to deal with my insanity. I thank God for her all the time. I told her, I said, you can't even die before me because I don't want to have to try to find somebody else to put up with me. That's just more than any person should have to do at this stage in life. That's our time. I want to thank you for your patience, and I want to conclude this series by saying Jesus was a person who asked deeply probing questions. And a lot of times the only way he could do ministry, he started with a question. And sometimes I think the reason we don't share our faith more, the reason we don't win more people to Jesus, is we have not learned the art of asking deeply probing questions. Because, and there's an art to it. There really is. You ask a deeply probing question, the person responds. When they respond, they're actually giving you permission to talk. So now we've got an engagement going on. I'm not going to give them the whole answer. I'm going to give them enough of the answer that they have to ask me a question. Are you hearing me? Because I want to go deeper. I'm trying to win them to Jesus. And these are skills you learn just from watching the ministry of Jesus. Jesus was so precise about the way he asked questions. So let me just close this way. So he asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Can anybody tell me why he asked three times? That's how many times he denied him. And Jesus wanted to make sure that everybody knew he had been fully restored. And he had gotten delivered from that comparison thing. Because by the time Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" a third time, he just said, "Lord, you know all things. You've proven that to me with that last stuff you got me into." Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your loving kindness. We certainly thank you for your word. I ask, Lord, that your word would go deep into the heart of the hearer, and that it would produce that for which you send it forth, that it would produce life. We thank you for the life force of your word. We thank you for the life force of your word, that your word produces life in the heart of the believer. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.